Please stand for the call to worship. Jesus said, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." On this day, Christ, the Lamb of God, gave himself into the hands of those who would slay him. On this day, Christ gathered with his disciples in the upper room. On this day, Christ took a towel and washed the disciples' feet, leaving us an example that we should do to others as he has done to us. On this day, Christ our God gave us this holy feast, that we who eat this bread and drink this cup may here proclaim his holy sacrifice and be partakers of his resurrection, and at the last day may reign with him in heaven. Let us pray. Holy God, source of all love, on the night of his betrayal, Jesus gave his disciples a new commandment, to love one another as he loved them. Write this commandment in our hearts. Give us the will to serve others as he was servant of all, who gave his life and died for us. Lift us into the presence of Christ, who is yet alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, we dare to approach God in confidence. So in humility and in faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. Let us pray. Eternal God, whose covenant with us is never broken, we confess that we fail to fulfill your will. Though you have bound yourself to us, we will not bind ourselves to you. In Jesus Christ, you serve us freely, but we refuse your love and withhold ourselves from others. We do not love you fully or love one another as you command. In your mercy, forgive and cleanse us. Lead us once again to your table and unite us to Christ, who is the bread of life and the vine from which we grow in grace. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Holy God, feed us with your word, and so give us a hunger for things that are lasting. We pray through Christ, our host and our help. Amen. On this Maundy Thursday evening, we remember the night when Jesus was betrayed and when he gathered with his disciples to share a Last Supper. In our scripture reading tonight, the Apostle Paul remembers that night and remembers that supper to the church in Corinth. From Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 11, hear the word of God. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This is the word of the Lord. We received a special gift for Christmas this year. A couple of days after the 25th, our family drove to North Carolina to my parents' house. There we had food together and exchanged presents, and at the end of it all, of our celebrations, there was time for one more gift. My mother brought out a large, heavy wooden box, and it was full of her parents' silver. There were the forks and knives that she had used in childhood and their family had used to mark special occasions like Christmas and Easter and Thanksgiving, and that was back in the days when they used that for every meal, too. So you could tell that the silver was well worn, but it was also well cared for. This is one of those special family heirlooms that you receive knowing that you have an obligation for its care. We have more family silver somewhere, I'm sure. There's a set from my great-great-grandparents who buried some in the yard during the Civil War down here in Georgia. And I joke that one day we'll find the other half in Katie's grandparents' basement in Ohio. But this particular set is ours now to care for, to protect and polish, to remember its origin and when the time comes to pass it on. We do this with other special things too, family possessions and heirlooms, important places and homes that we visit and care for, stories to share that shape a common identity, including the stories we tell at church. Faith, that's an inheritance too. It's a story that forms and reforms each generation. And as each generation lives with it, and God willing, passes it on. And this passing of something from one generation to another has a name. It's tradition. The root of the word tradition means literally to give something up or to hand it over. In a positive way, tradition shapes who we are and gives us a story. Negatively, it appears in that old church bugaboo, but we've always done it that way. Sometimes we can pass along our foibles and our less desirable characteristics too. The church historian Yaroslav Pelikan points out that this is the difference between tradition and traditionalism. Tradition, he says, is the living faith of the dead. Traditionalism is the dead faith of the living. This means that whenever we receive something, whenever we want to be conscientious about what we have been given, especially when we're here and what we have, we claim, comes from God. We want to know whether something is worth keeping or not, whether it's true. We want to know how precious it is. And this is essentially what the Apostle Paul says to the church in Corinth tonight. Paul has received something special from the Lord and passed it along to the Corinthians, and he wants them to know just how special it is. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, he says. Whatever he wants to give the church is important because it comes from the Lord. Then he continues with the words of institution that we still use in our celebration of the Lord's Supper today. He says, the Lord Jesus, in the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he continues on. These words are familiar and important, but they raise a question. What exactly is this that Paul has received? What has Corinth received from him, and what have we received from them? So tonight is Maundy Thursday. This is the day when the church remembers that last command of Jesus, the mandatum, to love one another. And this command happens in the context of a shared meal at the Last Supper. Jesus and the disciples were like a family sitting down to dinner. And it was also in the observance of the Passover and that Seder meal, and a tradition that covered 1,000 years of history. So every year around this time and to this day, the people of God would gather around a table to remember how God led the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt and into freedom. And at the meal, there would be bitter herbs to remind them of their hard service. There would be unleavened bread to remind them of the quickness of their escape, not even enough time for the yeast to make the bread rise. The story of Exodus would be read in full, and all this was done in response to the book of Exodus, which read, "You shall tell your children on that day, saying, 'It is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt.'" The Haggadah, which is a book that gives procedures for this meal, says that the point is so that the people of Israel understand themselves as the people in the story, that even today that they are the ones who are really the slaves in Egypt, and they are the ones who God has delivered. So at the center of this meal is a kind of formalized question and answer period. The youngest person present asks questions of the oldest. Why do we eat these herbs? Why is this night different from other nights? In this way, the meal remembers what has happened and passes along that story to another generation. So a lot of these traditions came after the fact, and the modern Seder that Jews celebrate today is different than how Jesus and the disciples would have observed the Passover. But the concept is essentially the same. Jesus and the disciples gathered for a meal to remember the Passover when God delivered the people from slavery. The meal preserved the people's memory of deliverance. And this particular meal created a new tradition, a new memorial, which means as a church, our understanding of deliverance has expanded. We acknowledge both our solidarity with the people of Israel in their escape from Egypt, and we also recognize that this meal prefigures Jesus' sacrifice on the cross as he gives himself up for our sins. So Jesus gives food as host in the same way he gives his life. If we take some of these older notions of the Seder meal seriously, we might think of celebrating the Lord's Supper as us in the place of the disciples, that Jesus is as real to us now as he was to the disciples at that meal. And these kinds of echoes are important in our worship. When in the Great Thanksgiving we say, "Lift up your hearts, we lift them up to the Lord," the Orthodox theologian Alexander Schmemann argues that we are literally lifted up into heaven, into the presence of God. And this is why the institution of the Lord's Supper is so important for the Apostle Paul. When Paul encourages the Lord's Supper in Corinth, he does so because it's a gift that the church has received from God. It's a tradition to be cared for and nurtured and passed on. It's a way that Jesus himself connected his sacrifice and his community and his promise of return. Paul wants the people to know how important this is in Corinth because they have begun to lose sight of what this meal means. In Corinth, there was economic division in the church between rich and poor. Some rich people would host church and worship at their house and prepare a splendid communion meal and then share it with their closest friends, and they might exclude some of the people who had less. They might go to temples and take food that had been sacrificed to pagan idols, unwittingly participating in something forbidden. They even got drunk during communion. All this meant that, according to Paul, Corinth had forgotten what this meal meant. They had forgotten that they received it from God's own hands. So Paul fusses at them for a while, and he tells them why all of this is bad. And then he reminds them why communion is so important. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That's why we're here. We're here because God loved us enough to become flesh and live among us and suffer the depths of human pain and sin and to restore us into communion with God. This meal is where we remember it. Through this meal, we remember that Jesus was flesh and blood and made of the stuff of the earth, just like wheat and wine. We remember that he had friends, people who he shared meals with and fed, and that he had a calling to serve others. We remember that Jesus joined an ongoing story about the ways that God has loved creation and its people. And we remember how Jesus died for us. And we remember how he was alive in our church and in our world. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We tell the story. We share the meal again and again because some things must be passed on. Jesus puts his very life in our hands. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus said, "Whoever would be greatest must be servant of all." And then he gave his life for the world. Friends, our Lord invites you to this table to be served, to share in his life poured out for you, and to receive the presence of God. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us pray. God of compassion, you bring bread from the earth. You create fruit from the vine. You made us in your image to live in communion with you throughout creation. You freed your people from slavery, claimed them and claimed us in your eternal covenant. Even in our selfishness, striving, weakness, and doubt, you have called us your own. When we were unfaithful, you sent your Son to redeem us, to renew and restore us with all creation into your perfect love. Even though he suffered, even though he died, you raised Jesus, destroying death for all time, giving hope for your people. Jesus promised your presence through the Holy Spirit, who unites us together as one people, called to love you, called to witness to new life in you, called to meet you here at this table. And therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with the celestial choirs who forever sing to the glory of your holy name. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be for us the communion of the body and blood of Christ. Lead us, O God, by the power of your Spirit to live as the Lord requires, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with you, our God. As Jesus gave his life for ours, help us to live our lives for others with humility and courage. Give us strength to serve you in faith until the completion of our hope in Jesus Christ, until he comes to call us into the joy of your eternal feast. Through Christ, in Christ, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread. And after giving thanks to God, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of it, all of you. For so often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God." Jesus said, "Blessed are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you shall be filled." We invite you to come forward and partake in this meal. Let us join together in prayer. God of compassion, we praise you that in love you have reached across our frailty and sin and brought us into your presence. Lead us through the shadow of grief that we may emerge in the joy of your Spirit. We pray through the one who bears all things for us, Jesus Christ, the servant of all, the one who is with us in his Spirit, and the one who teaches us to pray as he taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This night, Jesus gave himself into the hands of those who would betray him. In that betrayal and in the mystery of this meal, go out into the world looking for God, because God's story belongs to you too. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.